What's up, everybody? Welcome back into the Sorry to Interrupt podcast. It's day three in a row, gentlemen. And as promised, we are really kicking off our Masters Week coverage. And we got a lot to talk about. How we doing, gents?
I'm good, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good, Sean. You called Sean Tommy there, but that's okay. That's okay. Me and Sean are one of the same, baby. We're on the same team.
I was talking to you. I feel like I always just say, you know, hey, boys, and then Sean responds, so I wanted to give you a little shout-out.
He was throwing it around the horn a little
bit. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's always a good week during Masters Week. It's looking like tough weather out here on the East Coast tomorrow. And possibly into Friday and also in Augusta, Georgia, but it's still Masters Week. Did you guys watch any of the par three?
Yeah, it's not good for those Ricky Fowler fans out there when he wins it, because nobody who wins the par three wins the Masters. Sad day, because we all love Ricky, but you never know if he could show up. But also, with the weather, they pushed back tee times. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. They pushed back the starting tee times. I don't know if it's an hour or two, but they definitely pushed them back.
I like that for me, yeah, because I can watch it later. You know, I can get home from work and get an extra hour to watch. But whatever they got to do to squeeze it in, it's a small field, much smaller than any other major. So I'm not really concerned.
Yeah, I mean, it should be fine. You know, if anything, you can go with the legend of Bagger Vance and get the car lights going, you know.
There you go.
So, but yeah.
Inclement weather there last year, too.
I mean, somebody almost died with the two trees.
Yeah, the tree.
With the trees, yeah. But I think it's just going to be Thursday. I think Friday, Saturday, Sunday is going to be gorgeous.
You flying down, doctor?
I get on it.
He's a meteorologist, too. We're good.
I get on it Morfar. I mean, I probably could get on it Augusta. It's not really a big deal.
You shouldn't be allowed to bring that up on this podcast until you get me on it Morfar.
Okay. I'll work on it, Tom. I'll talk to the big guy.
Hey, you should tell him. I'll give him something. I'll get him on at the Griff, even though it's a public course.
Yeah, get him on the Dutch. You know.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, real quick, we want to recap Full Swing as we do every week. We got so much we got to fit in this week that we got to throw it on here somewhere, along with a curb recap at the end for Sean and I. I like this episode better than last week's, although it was a P1 of a P2, and we all know what's coming, which kind of sucks because it already happened. Yeah. But I kind of understood why they spread it out to two episodes.
I totally get it too, and you know, obviously, Tom doesn't like the Fitzpatrick boys, Sean, so we can go on about that. But I personally do love Zach Johnson. You know, he's a great leader of guys, but like, it just, the one thing that I took away from this episode is how much these guys take pride in not only the major tournaments in golf, but like being on the Ryder Cup to support your team, and how much it really means to them, and how much it means to them if they have a poor, you know, season in a Ryder Cup season, how that can break a guy.
Yeah, I mean, you saw JT talking about it, right? Like, of all the years to struggle, really, is it going to be this year? And that showed what a tough situation it is. And Tom, like you said, I mean, we know what eventually happened, but this was a guy that was having one of his worst years at a time where he was having to rely on Zach Johnson picking him based off his previous success at the previous two Ryder Cups. So it's a tough proposition to be in. I also like how they detailed their relationship and their friendship and the little needling that JT was doing, but also him being very transparent and respectful of the immense pressure that Zach Johnson was going to have to pick his next six players.
Yeah, I just kind of felt for Keegan there. And that, you know, and Keegan gets mixed reviews amongst the golf enthusiasts, but I'm a big Keegan fan. You know, he's a Johnny, so I have to be a Keegan fan. And you know, he was hot. Although I think you could have put Prime Tiger and Prime Phil on that team, and they still can't win in Europe, and they would have got boat raced anyways. It doesn't really matter. Not to spoil anything, they lost the Ryder Cup, by the way.
I mean, it already happened, obviously, but you know, I mean, people that listen are like, oh, who's on the 2023 Ryder Cup? You know, I really don't know much about that, but, you know, if that's what they're going to say. But the thing with Keegan Bradley, like, he plays his own game, but they talked about it in the episode. Like, he's not with these guys that have, you know, grown up, played golf together, played against each other in college.
Yeah, the guy's from Vermont.
Yeah, I mean, he just, you know, he's the older guy in the team, and he doesn't click with these young guys that have been playing together for, you know, since they were, what, 5 years old. You know, you see the JTs and the Spieths, you know, having dinner with Zach Johnson and Ricky's there with his wife, and you know, Keegan's not anywhere to be found. He's like the odd man out.
Yeah, and also too, I really like JT on camera. I mean, obviously he had this episode last year, but in season one, I think he's just a really transparent, genuinely interesting guy, and he wears his emotions on his sleeve, for better or worse. There's a lot of guys that do that on the tour that have been highlighted by Full Swing, but I think him just being brutally honest, and you hear it after LACC, where he was just like, I got to just treat that as a fluke, because I shot an 81. Like, when do I ever shoot an 81? Obviously, he didn't make the cut at the Masters, and it really was chronicling such a tough year for him after his previous run of immense success, winning the the U.S. Open? No, the PGA, right?
Two PGAs.
So I think you look at just the ups and downs with him, and then correlating again with the fact that this is a Ryder Cup year, and he's such an important player because his style fits so well in that format.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And like, the only thing, like, you saw that, you know, he obviously, JT struggled all year, but if you look at his Ryder Cup record, you know, he's probably one of the best Americans to do it. I mean, you can't say no when that guy's on the big stage. Obviously, he's struggling in majors, missing cuts or whatever. When it comes to the Ryder Cup, he's just a different player. I think, like, he has the game that's meant for that team play and all that stuff. They talked about it too, which, you know, I want to get your guys' opinion on. And, you know, this is why I really like Zach Johnson, because he just said, listen, I don't care if it's LIV, I don't care if it's PGA. I want the best Team USA. That's all I care about. And that really stood out to me, because it's not like, oh, well, Brooks isn't going, DeChambeau is not going because they play for LIV. They want the best Team USA. He said it numerous times throughout the episode. I don't care where you're from. If you can golf, you can golf.
I completely agree. They said Brandel and the other guy, I forget his name, on Live from the Masters, both said the same thing. The Ryder Cup and the majors should be elevated above these two tours. We need the best players in the world to be playing together again. And until, you know, the PGA and Cohen and his boys and the Saudi whatever get together and figure this thing out, we need to treat these weeks, they need to be a little bit more special.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
definitely.
For sure. And it's being propped up as that too. And I think, you know, particularly the way you see Brooks kind of go about it, where he's still fraternizing with these guys. Like, he's been the most transparent and honest about the entire situation, probably right up there with DJ, saying, listen, I took the money. I didn't know where my career was. I was coming off injuries. I was in a bad place. What do you want me to do? But now you got Rom, who's kind of talking about, like, well, I only took this because I thought the deal was imminent. I think we should be playing 72 holes and all that. So yeah, back to Zach Johnson. I think he was, you know, trying to process all this information. This episode didn't show the announcement in June, which obviously for good reason, because that's been chronicled for the first five episodes. But
well, plus there's a P2 to this episode.
Zach Johnson, to your point, Will, is saying, like, let's let bygones be bygones. Everybody here wants to win. It's country above everything else. And we're going to pick the 12 best, the next six best players that deserve to be here to make the team.
Absolutely. And that's how it should be, regardless of what tour they play on. You know, you have that whole rift between the PGA players and LIV and all that stuff. But when it comes down, you know, Sean, you said it perfectly. It's country over all else.
All right, boys. On that note, you ready to jump into the Masters week now?
Oh, I'm absolutely freaking ready.
This begins,
dude. I'm so pumped.
Let's ring the bell, whatever you want to do. This begins our coverage of the Masters, Wednesday to Sunday, boys. I am so pumped. Will, if you have off this week on Friday, I couldn't be more jealous of you to just sit my fat ass on the couch and watch as much golf as I can. I'm going to try to do that. I might have to talk to your brother about that.
Me being a surgeon, I'm headed down to Augusta. So,
oh, yeah. Well, you're flying private, right? You're just going to land on the tarmac?
I'm borrowing one of the doctor's private jets, land on the tarmac. You know, they're going to greet me, get on one of the golf carts, probably meet Tiger, talk to him for a little bit.
I respect the fact that you're a young man, you're only in your 30s, and you decided to borrow a jet instead of buying your own. You're going to do that later on in your career.
I care about the environment, so it's somebody else's problem, not mine.
I love that.
I'll be down there. I'll be cheering on the guys, you know, our guys that we talk about all the time. And let's get into it.
All right, boys. First question I have. I went rogue on Sean and I kind of took over the notes. So I had some important questions. I listed here a bunch of guys, top 10. These guys are all either tied or in the top 10 odds wise for this Masters. I need a pick. I need you guys to sack up. And if say you're wrong, if they win, who is not going to win?
Sean, start us off, baby.
All right. So out of the top 10, I went ahead here and, you know, there's a couple people, there's some 5 o'clock hitters in here. To me, the answer is unequivocally Patrick Cantlay, and the second one for me is Colin Morikawa. I don't see a world in which Cantlay ever sacks up and wins, and I just really don't like the world that Colin Morikawa is in right now from a golf standpoint. He's been bad. I don't trust him. So it's a two-way tie for me out of those two.
Will, did you guys talk on the phone before this and set that up so that you set up Sean to go in front of me and take not one but two of the guys that I wanted to take? Did you guys plan this?
We could take credit for being that.
I wish we could take credit, but once I heard the words Patrick Cantlay come out of Sean's mouth, I'm like, yep, that's what Tom's thinking too.
You guys want a bold one?
Let's go.
Let's hear it.
John Rahm.
Okay.
Number one, people never go back to back at the Masters. It's been a long time. Has it ever happened? I don't even know. Did Bubba go back?
Bubba didn't go back to back. Did Tiger go back to back?
I'll
no.
Look.
98-99? Oh, that was Mark O'Mara. So. Mark O'Mara won, and then he won.
Because Tiger came on the scene in 97 and won that one.
Yes. And then I think he won in 99, and I think Mark O'Mara was in between them. That's my guess. So mine, and might be a little bit of a shock because I do like this guy.
Tiger Woods, 0-1-0-2. Sorry,
0-1-0-2. See, I was right with Tiger Woods. I was just off by a couple of years. But my guy, it might be a shock to you two, but he hasn't been playing good golf of late. He hasn't been getting off the tee box very well lately. I'm going to say Victor Hovland.
He did take a month off with a new swing coach.
He did take a month off, but I look at him as he's one of those golfers that gets in his own head when things are going wrong, and that's going to cost him in this tournament. Obviously, he's very talented. He's a top 10 player in the world, but obviously his swing's been off. His short game has been off. Putting's been there, but like you need it all to come together in a Masters to win it all. And I don't think Victor Hovland has it to do it in this one. So I'm going to say Victor Hovland is my pick to not win it.
Okay, Sean, you took the low-hanging fruit there, you SOB, but I went bold, and Will, you went a little bit bold, but he hasn't played in a while, so it's kind of a middle take. I like all of them, except for Sean.
That's on you. For all of our conversations, did you really think I was going to go out on a
I thought you say, were.
You know, I think Cantlay's going to win this one. Like,
I really thought he, I, you know, and I love the name when Tom gets pissed. I thought he was going to say Michael Block just to get a rise on Tom. I thought he was going to say
he'll leave that
no,
for you.
I wasn't that devious.
He'll leave that for you. But no, I really did because the last couple of years I felt like you were trying to go out on a limb, but this year you're playing it a little bit smarter, which is pissing me off.
What do you want from me, bro? You're turning me into a golf head. I know. I'm picking up on trends.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, Tom. That's your problem about trying to beat Sean. Is you know, you're teaching him everything he knows, and
I know.
You know, now the student's going to become the teacher.
That's all right. It makes for a good podcast. And I've been wrong a lot lately. My pick of the day segment on Twitter is 0-2. So shooters need to shoot. All right, boys. Next question I have is. Odds 7,000 plus. Everybody, give me a pick. And Will, I'll let you go first on this one. I'm making the call.
Oh, I like that a lot. And I'm going to go
CEO
with our
taking over. Classic. CEO doesn't get his way, and his employee is subordinate, and now he turns the table.
There we go.
Yep. Listen. You know, we love this
guy.
He
takes over the content from me. Now he's not letting me go in order of my picks. He's going
Listen, I get a little antsy when it comes to the Masters.
He's a full-blown tyrant today.
Sorry.
Soon he's going to be writing the notes for you too, Sean.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the thing. This is our guy. He has a podcast. This is our guy. And they talked about him on Full Swing as well, about he needs to make a big splash and a big major. I'm going with Tom Kim. Plus 7,000.
I love that. Tom Kim, not that long off the tee, but he is pretty accurate with his irons. He is fighting an injury right now. A bold pick, but nonetheless, I like it. I'm going to be rooting for him. Shawnee boy.
Yeah, buddy. So, listen, I know he has been playing like dog shit, but I go back to the well with this gentleman a little bit, and I got to have a feel for it, and there's just something about it when I was reading the field of how I was thinking. Give me some Justin Rose action.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
I like that.
Yeah, he has been playing pretty tough. Listen, I don't like to take rookies at the Masters because they say that you need to know the course. I don't want to take an old guy. Like, I could be crazy and go Phil, but I'm going to stay right in the middle there, and I'm going to go Siwoo Kim.
That's a good pick as well. He was one of my thoughts with Tom, but, you know, the whole episode that we kind of waxed poetically about Tom Kim and how we all love him and how he's a guy's guy kind of person. That's why I took Tom Kim. But Siwoo is definitely a great pick, too, because he's been playing good golf as well. So, you know, I can see him making a push, make the cut on, you know, be six strokes back and make a push on a Saturday kind of thing.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And he's just a great ball striker. And his short game is very good. And for him, really, it's just like, is the putter going to be hot or not? All right, boys, give me your low am. Not too many Americans this year.
Sean, go ahead.
All right, I'm taking Jasper Stubbs out of this group here.
What a name.
And that's why I took it. I don't know anything fucking about him, but give me a guy named Jasper Stubbs. Let's go.
I like that. I went with, hopefully I pronounce this guy, maybe he's a listener. I'm going to go with Christo Lammerprak. He was the low-round amateur at the Open Championship in 23, also won the Amateur Championship in 23. He's the favorite to be the low scorer as an amateur in the Masters. So I'm going to go with the favorite in the low amateurs, and I'm going to go with Christo Lammerprak.
I like those two picks. I am going to go with the only guy who I've seen play golf before. I happen to pop on this tournament. I think it was on the Golf Channel, or maybe I saw some highlights of Nick Shipley. I think, yeah, he went to Ohio State. He holed out either to force a playoff or to take the lead or something in order to win, what was it, the amateur. So, listen, I think he finished runner-up, Nick Dunlap. That's Sean's boy. Finished runner-up regardless. Good showing out of him. I've got my eye out. I don't think we're going to have a repeat of Sam Bennett from last year where he was playing in the final group in the fourth round, but maybe one or two of these guys can make the cut.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that, you know, I just got to give credit to Shawnee. The guy I picked is 6'8". Purdue could have used him.
True.
They definitely could have. They definitely needed some more size.
He probably could shoot it. Golfers are usually pretty good shooters and vice versa.
Athletes.
All right, boys. A couple more questions off the top of my head. Will there be a hole-in-one in this tournament?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say we get one ace. And if you want a name, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna give me Hideki.
Ooh, okay. And Will, you're saying no?
I'm saying no.
I'm gonna go yes.
2 inches from the pin.
Okay. I'm gonna go yes. That's more wishful thinking than anything. All right. Final question before we get into our foursomes. Give me a heart pick. Give me a pick that you guys, not who you think is going to win more than anybody, but a guy that you want to win more than anybody. Who would you, outside of Tiger, we'll put Tiger on the shelf just because he doesn't count. Because that, again, the universe would explode. Outside of Tiger, who's your guy that you would be the happiest if they won?
I mean, there's a lot of guys that we love. We talk about it all the time. But for me personally, because I love this guy, big Twitter troll, I'm going to say Max Homa.
I love that pick for you, man. He's definitely up there for me. Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I think the obvious answer here is Rory. And if somehow he makes a charge, everyone's going to be pulling for him. Yep. Another name that I have is Ricky. I think if Ricky could play great, that would be an unbelievable story. You kind of follow up the
people
almost win at LACC. And one more for me is JT. Just after the debacle last year, maybe it has something to do with the fact we just watched that episode of Full Swing, but I'd love to see him really make a charge here in this tournament after not even making the cut last season. So those are three names for me.
I like that. For me, it's outside of Scotty, just because, you know, we saw UConn go on this great run in Ubia. A hell of a week to see that great of a team, one of the best college basketball teams ever, and then see Scotty just continue to go on this Tiger-esque run, although it is not quite even close to Tiger yet, but just have greatness. Outside of that, my heart pick is Brooks. If Brooks goes out there and grabs this, it'll feel like the Yankees won the championship for me.
So does that mean he's not in your foursome?
Well, if you want to segue into foursomes.
I'm interested. I was kind of thinking that we were going to go off the off of our foursome picks, but maybe we didn't.
No, Brooks is in my foursome as well. I think Brooks is going to be so dialed in, so ready for this tournament. I don't think the LIV Golf affects him, and I don't think you can argue that. I think he's proven that by finishing top three last year in the Masters and winning a major. So I have Brooks, Hideki, Will Zalatoris. I'm sticking with it, Will. I am sticking with it. I gave you that pick a couple of weeks ago. I think if he can just keep the putter rolling, he's finished top, I don't know, top five here once or twice, maybe twice, I don't know. And then my fourth pick and my pick to win, I think it'd be stupid not to pick him, is Scotty.
I mean, that's definitely a good bunch. And I feel like a lot of our picks are going to be the same, except for maybe one or two going into it. Sean, I'll let you go second. I'll take the last because I have a little bit of a surprise in my foursome.
Ooh. All right. I'm always interested. We know with Will with the hot takes and when he foreshadows there being a little bit off the cuff here, I'm always excited.
Maybe he'll pick Fred Couples or something. I don't even know if he's playing this year.
Ernie L. stuff.
All right. So in my foursome, I'm starting with Victor. Well, I hear your concerns, but I've been on the Victor train since last year. He had a very
good
showing.
I'd be ashamed if you didn't take him, to be honest.
Yeah, and that was exactly where my mind was. I was like, I've been propping him up. If you remember the pod a couple weeks ago when we recapped a tournament, I said, I still think I'm going to take Victor. I'm not off of it. He played way too well on the big stage last year, obviously winning the FedEx, but also performing exceptionally well in some majors. I'm going to take Victor. Maybe he the month off, he figures some shit out, but I just like him in the big moment. I'm going Wyndham Clark. I think the U.S. Open last year was a huge deal for him and a huge breakthrough. He's been playing well. I just think he's a different player this time around than he was last year. He's a huge ball striker. I think he could do very well in Augusta. At two, I got Jon Rahm, the reigning champ. I know that maybe he's not playing the best over in LIV. I really am completely throwing out the window the notion that LIV players can't play great, because we saw last year with what Brooks did and what Phil did, and then obviously the rest of the majors as well. So I don't give a shit anymore. I think that narrative is completely squashed. But of course, my winner is Scottie Scheffler. I think to just go off of him, you're trying to be too cute. You're trying to figure something else out. You're trying to be smarter than everybody else. He's the best player in the world. And if he just puts slightly, you know, just a little bit better than mediocre, this guy could win by three or four strokes. So give me Scotty to win this thing.
Ballsy pick, taking Clark. He's a rookie at the Masters.
He is. But, again, following the trajectory of what he's been as a golfer really since LACC, I feel just really good about his game, and I also feel really good about his mentals right now.
Also, his iron game is so good, and that's, you know, what you need at the Masters as well.
I always like guys that have a master or that have a major under their belt now, because you know they can do it.
So, Sean, getting into mine, and yes, I'm going to be a little cute because I'm going to think that I know more than you boys. So I'm going to start with me and Sean's guy, Hideki Matsuyama. That's going to be one of my foursome. And then I'm going to put on the, obviously you got to put Scottie Scheffler in there. That foreshadows, I do not have him winning. I do not have him winning, but he will be in my foursome. He'll definitely be a top five guy. This is my pick right here. And this is outside on the cup, one of Willie's hot take picks. And he's been the hottest player in golf, not named Scottie Scheffler, with three out of his last four tournaments finishing top 10. I'm going with Sahith Sagawa.
Ooh. I just hope if he can keep the ball on the planet. I mean, there's yes. That's one thing. You don't hit the ball OB much at Augusta. So, and he's a great iron player and got a really good short game. So I don't hate that pick
playing,
at all.
And he's been playing some hell of a good golf. So I don't think he wins, but I could definitely see him, if he plays the way he can play, be a top five guy, which he has been in his last four events that he's been in. I think he finished tied for ninth, tied for fifth, tied for fourth, and then he finished like 26th or whatever. But still, three top 10 finishes in his last four events is very impressive. And then my winner, I don't think this guy chokes this year, Xander Schauffele.
Oh, wow.
Xander Schauffele. I'm a big Xander Schauffele
guy. Be interesting if he could shed that jacket.
Yep. I mean, he was right there a couple years ago, put it in the water. If he didn't do that, he probably wins. I think he shakes off the cobwebs. He gets it going, and this is his time. I've been a Xander Schauffele guy since day one, since he came on the tour. And, you know, I just love his demeanor, love his attitude. I think he gets the job done, and he beats the best player in the world, Scottie Scheffler. And if he proves me right, then I just know more than he does.
I mean, yeah, there's nothing to say there. As for our contest, just to let everybody know, for Sean and I, the majors count for two. So how many points does that mean there's on the line this week? Three, right? Or no, wait. A win counts for three, doesn't it?
A win counts for three.
So five
right?
points are possibly on the line here, and Will can just have pure bragging rights. Imagine you swept the majors this year.
Oh, it would just be perfect for me. Like, bragging rights mean more to me than anything. So... You know, especially on this podcast, we got the CEO making notes now and just telling the direction of things. And then, you know, I could just sit him down real quick. And then if I, you know, beat Sean, maybe I make the notes for the next major.
You guys like are more that. Than welcome.
Oh, boys. All right, Willie. Well, thanks for coming on. And you guys will have Curb soon.
All right, everybody. We're back. Tom, we got to talk about the finale, the best finale, the redemption for Seinfeld, the entire spite about it. Curb's over and it went out in a blaze of glory. How we feeling?
Yeah, man. I was telling you, I don't even think we really have to do much of this podcast because I think Larry did enough talking in that episode. It was electric. What a way to cap it off. I felt like as much as the finale is bittersweet, there was no better way to wrap it up than some beautiful flashbacks, having pretty much every mainstay character come through. I was disappointed to not see Jon Hamm come in, and I was also, you know, Rosie and a few others, but you can't have everybody on, and I was happy Richard was there. It was a great ending. It really was.
It was the Seinfeld finale, though, right? Bringing back everybody to show how terrible of a human being he is.
Yep.
And how he's fucking up his own trial and all that, and it was great. Obviously, the salad dressing and Jeff going rogue to get the salad dressing recipe for Susie. There were a lot of other things and elements, but the totality of the situation was this was, you know, this was 25 years, 26 years in the making after all the shit he took from the Seinfeld finale. Jerry was great. JB talking about, or obviously Leon talking to Jerry about this, finally watching Seinfeld and asking where the sex tapes were. I knew you were getting that ass. Are you getting ass every week?
I love how he was like, yeah, I heard it. I'm about to watch the finale. I heard it sucked.
Yeah.
In the finale, he says it. It was perfect.
It's so good. And it ties all the loose ends together. And then for Jerry to go down to the jail and bail Larry out because he told the juror that he looked like Joe Pesci and that he wasn't sequestering was perfect. And they even said at the end, this is how we should have ended Seinfeld. Like, I think Larry did everything he wanted to do to just double down and be like, I don't give a shit what you guys think about Seinfeld. I thought it was good. And you know what? We're going to make this even better.
Yeah, man, I really have not much else to say. RIP to the people that we lost throughout the show. What's next for Larry, really?
Well, Jeff Garlin said, like, if you think he's just going to go away and stop working, it's not going to happen. Now, is he going to do a new series? I can't imagine that. But maybe he pops up and does a couple projects, maybe some one-offs. But I'm sure Larry's going to be around. I'm sure that he's going to be, you know – There's one Larry David project that doesn't get talked about very often. And are you familiar with the movie Clear History?
I have heard of it, but I have never seen it.
So it was a movie he did in like 2015 or 2014. It was during one of the hiatuses of Curb. And John Hamm plays a prevalent role. And I'm not going to give it completely away, but it's a good movie. And it's I could see Larry doing something like that, bringing in a lot of people who he had on Curb and the ensembles of characters like that. But I don't think he's done. What do you think?
No, I think you're right. I think he'll be more in a do a couple more for me role than do something that he's obligated to do an entire season. Maybe he'll do a couple guest directings or writings, or I don't even know what you would consider what the hell he does, because I mean, it kind of created something there with him directing and doing this show and whatnot. So, but I do think he'll still be around. I mean, that guy's got too much to say. Maybe he'll do it. I mean, he's a big sports guy. Maybe he'll do the pod with us.
Well, that would be amazing. I mean, he even said in the episode, right, the finale, talking to Lewis's girlfriend. He's like, "Do you even know what love is?" And he's like, "Yeah, you know, when the Rangers won, I mean, that was great. But, you know, heartbreak when the Yankees lost in 2004, I didn't do anything for weeks. It was terrible."
Yeah.
Like, so he is not shy. I mean, dude, he did an entire episode about how the Jets killed his friend. Like,
I mean, yeah, it's an extreme. He's a very relatable guy.
Very relatable. But I thought this season did everything, dude. I really do. I love how it culminated with the trial in Atlanta.
We did get his girlfriend finally, by the way. We can't end the pod without saying that.
Say that again.
I said we did get the drunken ex-girlfriend, or I'm not the sober ex-girlfriend now.
Yeah, just very briefly, but
that's all I needed.
That's all we needed. She would testify against him, so that was good. But to have Jerry in there and tie that whole thing together was just perfect. It was brilliant writing.
Brilliant writing. I put it at number two for finales for me, behind Breaking Bad. Now it's nestled in there. I put Sopranos at three because I actually like the ending. And yeah, that's it, man. You got anything else?
Nah, man. I know we have a lot more coming up with the Masters. We will be doing recaps as promised after every round. So I'm going to tell you at 10 p.m. Eastern, get some rest and be ready for four more straight days of potting.
I'm looking forward to it, man. This is a hell of a week in sports, and it's going to be a real fun week for you, especially if Victor Hovland can win. That'll feel like two UConn championships.
I would just like to point out that on the first part of this pod with you, Will, you both made references to UConn, and I did not. So I don't I don't want to hear about any deriding.
No, listen, I have nothing to say. You were a good boy this episode.
Yeah, I think you guys wanted to bring it back up again because you're still
we just
so
wanted to get
impressed.
You going a little bit so we could knock you back down.
Yeah, the rest of my teams will do that to me. You don't have to worry about this.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Well, listen, I know I'm going to enjoy the Masters. Everybody else enjoy it too.
We'll be talking to y'all soon.